SpongeBob Chronicles, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie.
I'm Chad.
And today we are here to cover Season 1, Episode 11, Muscle Bob Buff Pants / Squidward the Unfriendly Ghost.
Ronnie.
What'd you think, Chad?
I love seeing Squidward the Unfriendly Ghost again. For some reason, it feels like it has been so long since I've seen that specific episode.
That's a good... I mean, both of them, pretty good ones, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were both good.
My main takeaway from these two episodes are this is the most, like, traditional Looney Tunes cartoony this show has gotten so far.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the traditional cartoon tropes are... They're really nailing them in
when
these
SpongeBob
two
mentioned drinking 20 raw eggs, I was like, this is fucking it.
Right, I knew you'd love that. Let's hop on in.
Let's do it.
Starting off with Muscle Bob. SpongeBob is taking a minute to just make sure he's good in the mirror. We're getting the before so he can check out his freaky pump after he lifts some weights.
This is not, I'm not even kidding. This is every boy at the age of like 12.
Oh, yeah.
When they realize that they want to be like strong and look good, 12, 13 years old, because you have some of the other kids that have hit puberty and are already pretty strong, and then you have people like me that didn't hit it till they were like 15, 16.
Just have no muscle structure whatsoever.
No, it's just noodle arms, lanky, and this is how I felt in that time.
Yeah, he's still trying to improve from the teddy bear bunny bench weight combo or whatever he's got going on. It's the same weight that he's been lifting since episode one, so not a whole lot of improvement. He moved his gym downstairs, which would be a nightmare if they weren't stuffed animals.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. It's got a lot of work for him to
take
it down.
Yeah, exactly. Sandy shows up basically just to show us that she is on the juice. She is...
Yeah, what is up with her? She's got the sleeper build where until she flexes, she looks tiny.
Yeah, Sandy... Ultimate sleeper build, yeah. ?
Yeah, we need to post that on X, just the picture of her noodle arms before she flexes.
Oh my gosh.
And how did they actually get that flexing arm? It was a real life picture of it. It looked like a squirrel's. It legitimately did.
Yeah, it's got some fur on it and stuff, right? We see what ripped SpongeBob would be like because he kind of daydreams about it. It's the way I dream about becoming ripped as well, where he gets ripped and also grows 10 inches in the process because he's much taller. He's still working at the Krusty Krab, even though he's absolutely shredded now.
Well, if your muscles grow that much, like, you're going to get taller, right? That's just science.
I mean, I wish that is the way it worked. You would catch me in the gym every day. Sandy, she decides to put SpongeBob through her training program, and this is kind of what it consists of. We got push-ups.
Well, dude, she says, meet me at 5 a.m. She's the stereotypical meathead, juice head.
Right.
Who, you got these friends that are like, oh, we can only work out at 5 a.m. That's when all the big guys get in there and get after it.
Right. They have the mindset of like, it's... Start your day before anyone else ever even starts theirs.
Yeah, it's the Mark Wahlberg workout
That's
session.
Like, I used to have our varsity baseball coach in high school. He used to, like, he would also teach the history class. And he would say, I forget exactly what his tagline was, but the greater philosophy was just, like, be different, be better. So he would say, if you have your... This is such a stupid thing. If you have your alarm clock set for 7 a.m., set it for 6:57 a.m. and get a 3-minute head start on everyone else.
Embrace the suck. That's what our coach used to tell us. Embrace the suck.
So, yeah, they start this training regime, and it's push-ups, which SpongeBob can't do one of. Boxing.
No, he gets one. His arms fall off, but he gets one.
Okay. Boxing.
By the way, when we go and lift from now on, when you're in the middle of just like one of your hardest, heaviest sets, I'm just going to just start yelling, embrace the suck!
Okay, and that'll get me to the finish line, I think. Because that's the thing. That's the thing about motivational commentary is it will put in a little extra ounce of juice in you, for sure.
I'll say this. Yesterday, I didn't have you for my workout session, and I missed you there.
Did you not go as hard as you could have gone?
I didn't go as hard as I went hard, but it was like it was at that moment I realized, wow, I really hit my extra gear when I have my friend Ronnie. It's like SpongeBob right here. He would not be trying nearly as hard if Sandy wasn't standing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have a motivator. What do you think about the boxing part of this training?
Should we start boxing? Is that what you're meaning?
Listen, boxing is an incredible workout. But I don't think it's going to get SpongeBob the results that he's picturing in his mind.
No, he needs to be eating a lot of calories.
And I don't think it's going to get SpongeBob or Sandy the arms that she's flaunting. So I think she's lying about what her training regime is, because push-ups, boxing, and then hamster wheeling.
Yeah, she's doing a lot of cardio here.
A lot of cardio. Now, I guess the secret is the arm crunchers that she shows us, which is two cement blocks tied to ropes where you then put your arms in between some sort of like guillotine shaped structure for the arms. There's gloves for some reason. I don't know what the point of like the rubber gloves are that
you
slide into.
Your hands.
I guess so. And then, yeah, they just crunch your arms. And
it's like the, that reminds me of the videos where you just see people. They're like, oh, punch me in my stomach. It builds up abs, and people just beat the shit out of the stomach. And I have no idea if that works or not. If it does, please let me know. But
yeah, I don't know if the idea is like, oh, break them, and then they'll grow back stronger.
Yeah, I don't know.
SpongeBob sees this. He bails. But then he introduces us. Is this the first example that you believe was like on... like the first public showing of targeted ads? Because I don't know how they got SpongeBob's situation, but yeah, he's laying in bed and what comes on the TV but anchor arms. Now these things
this
are
is,
great.
Yeah, this is already, it's like our phones. His TV was listening to him and he heard its complaints, so they played this ad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now they come in ripped, veiny, and for the ladies, hairy. Do ladies like a hairy arm?
I don't know.
I know some of them like a hairy chest, which kind of blows my mind, but...
Well, I mean, that's manly. That shows a sign of high testos.
Yeah, I guess. But I've never heard about it on the arm side.
Here's the thing about these muscle arms. They don't match SpongeBob's skin complexion. So how are they buying this?
Right. That's what I have here. They come in ripped, veiny, and hairy. Downside is I think they only come in one color, and that color I don't think has ever been represented in Bikini Bottom once.
Nope. It's like a salmon color.
Yeah.
And yeah, not even the outside of a salmon, the inside.
Here's what it is. They're the color that if you were a kid and you had a 24 set of crayons, this is the color that you would like make a human, well, a white person, and then you look at it and it's not really a white person at all, but it's what you had.
It's like the color of a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's hard to capture that particular color. But SpongeBob is sold. He gets on his phone, calls him up, and later on, we just see a quick little scene of Squid in his front yard laid out enjoying a popsicle, Mr. Krabs sweeping, and they are overtaken by the shadow that is SpongeBob's new arms.
And they're buying it. I love how they eat this shit up.
They act as if they can't say what's going on, SpongeBob, because they act as if Godzilla has just shown up on their front porch. All this, SpongeBob heads over to Muscle Beach where he uses his arms as stilts. I like that little nugget.
I thought about it. How strong would our arms be if we walked around on them all day?
Oh, it's like the gorilla sort of deal.
Yeah.
Like they don't even do it quite like that, but they've always got them on the ground using like their knuckles and stuff. And that's why they can hang around, swing like they do.
How gnarly is it that those gorillas just eat plants and they can be that big?
That is wild.
I've always thought about stuff like even a cow. A cow gets ginormous. It literally just eats grass all day.
Right.
And we have to like pound ourselves with protein and steak and all this other stuff to get big. And a lot of times we still don't.
See, a cow is different because... I don't think of a cow. I just feel like it weighs a lot. It's not muscular. Gorillas are like, whoa.
Okay, like, well, but what about a horse? Those are muscular.
Horses are, yeah, they're muscular for sure. Same thing. I guess we just really, if you look at it, as far as the animal kingdom goes, we really got screwed over on like the genetic side of things.
We did. We seriously did. We have to eat like, I mean, we don't have technically have to eat flesh, but if you want to get to your max potential, you have to eat like the flesh carcass of animals at some capacity.
Such a weird way to say it. Let's keep moving on. Yeah, we're at Muscle Beach using the arms. The muscle dummies here can't believe their eyes that SpongeBob has gotten these results in such a quick amount of time, even if they assume that he is using steroids.
It is just stupidly funny just seeing fish as muscle dummies.
Well, especially like, you know, when we were kids, we were like, wow, these guys are really hitting the weights. But what we know now, you look at them and go, every single one of these are literally roided up to the gills.
Oh, yeah. Two of the gills, literally.
Larry says, SpongeBob, is that you? And SpongeBob hits him with a, who are you expecting, Tiny Tim?
They throw in a Tiny Tim line. I would have never caught this as a kid.
I know, it's amazing.
Steven, you dog.
One thing I will really, like, I'm impressed by with SpongeBob, he has amazing posing skills.
He does, and he's always so, SpongeBob's so good at being cocky and arrogant when he gets to a potential level that he definitely did not deserve, like the ripped pants level. Mm-hmm. He was very cocky and arrogant about it, and now he's cocky and arrogant about this.
Yeah, like this one, there's such an easy way to see how this goes wrong, but SpongeBob has not slowed down long enough to think about the flaw in his plans, showing up to a Muscle Beach with inflatable tubes.
SpongeBob is literally 90% of all Americans. They try for one day. So this is what he did. He tried one day Sandy's routine, hated it, went home, saw an ad, how to get big, and it's basically a cheat code.
Yeah.
And one day, and it's just buy this item, and he went and bought the item. It's like people that go on a diet for one day, they're like, this fucking sucks. And then they see a diet pill commercial on TV, and they're like, well, I'll just do that instead.
It's like if you spent $50,000 to some like the best CGI artist to make you look like you hit 100 threes in a row with like the most perfect form, and then you took that video and you went and showed it to a bunch of guys at a basketball court.
You went to the local like pickup game area.
Hey guys, check this out.
They're like, wow, can you show us? You're like, oh.
Can you hit a few? Like, well, of course, we don't expect you to hit, you know, 100 in a row like you did in the video, but surely you can knock down a couple. My favorite beach goer, he makes a return, and we catch up with him. He's talking to another fish, and he goes, I'm telling you, he's huge. Sandy's looking for SpongeBob, and this guy says, are you talking about Muscle Bob Buff Pants? Which, you know, I almost wish they hadn't made that the title of the episode, because that takes away
it
from
does.
This well-crafted nickname. That
now,
the speech
did SpongeBob tell him that's his name, or did this guy just come up with it instantly?
This guy seems like the guy. We would be friends with this guy.
Oh, 100%.
So we meet SpongeBob, who is basically, you know, he's starting to walk through his routine with the guys. He starts off with 20 raw eggs a day.
Oh, and as soon as he said that, I was like, Steven, my boy Steven, he knows what the fuck to write down on a piece of paper for SpongeBob to say.
Just an absolute protein bomb right there in the morning.
Dude, can you imagine starting every day with 20 raw eggs?
With 140 grams of protein in raw egg form.
Yeah, God, I saw a video of Hulk Hogan just downing. He's talking to this just like average Joe in this kitchen. It just looks like a 1980s kitchen. And he's like, every morning I start off with 10 raw eggs. He's pure protein, brother. Pure protein. That's how he's talking. And the guy's just looking at him like, what the fuck?
Speaking of average Joes, SpongeBob totally slams an innocent bystander at the sandbar when he says, I remember when I used to look like that guy. That poor guy. He was just going to get like a hot dog.
I mean, how dick is it to not work out at all, to buy a product and then be and then shit on somebody else?
The bartender puts down SpongeBob's drink, but he can't pick it up. Everyone is watching, so he stretches his lips, takes a sip, and then when he stops, he goes, "Yeah."
Now, is it because he obviously can pick up glasses? Is it just because they're so long?
I don't know.
They're just inflatable. He can't get it or whatever.
This is where the cartoony side of things really starts happening. The fact that he can't pick up a glass. Yeah. He says his secret is making farting sounds with his armpits. That's his training routine.
Yeah. And it's literally because these things are like a whoopee cushion. You blow them up. I think he just didn't know what else to say.
And as if he wasn't already being dick enough, he tells Sandy that her training program wasn't tough enough. And Sandy's like, I can't argue with the results, so.
How is everybody buying this?
She wants to see him put it to use at the anchor toss, and she says, see you there. But right as he's getting ready, basically, like, I guess come clean with Sandy about what's going on, the bartender puts down another drink on top of his hand, and he is trapped. He can't get out of this situation.
By the way, the anchor toss, how genius is that?
Hilarious.
To just have him tossing anchors.
The size of 10-story buildings. Yeah. Sandy enters him into the contest when he tries to stop her, but it is too late. The slip has been put in. The idea that she has put the slip into the entry box, and so there's no turning back now.
There's no turning. He can't just not go.
He can't just go home and have lunch. He's like, well, I'm in there now. Oh, my God. We cut over to the event. Perch Perkins here to announce the competition. I don't think that they've introduced him as Perch Perkins yet,
right,
but I'm
a
big fan, so I know that. Now, he's having a hot dog. He's a mustard on top of the hot dog kind
of
guy.
I know. There's a lot of people like that, and I'm just not about that. I'm a ketchup only on
my hot dogs.
Well,
and here's the thing. The mustard guys, they're very judgmental of ketchup guys.
Like, they are, and you know what I say to that? Get some calories in you, because there's no calories in mustard, right?
Right.
So lame.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. There's no Muscle Bob Buff Pants going around just eating mustard hot dogs.
Yes. Yeah. No.
Get a couple more cows in you. Now, SpongeBob is blowing up his muscles as much as he can. I guess he just starts off by blowing them up. And then the whale throws the largest anchor you've ever seen in your life. And as soon as he threw it, I knew that they measured this. And I knew as a kid, I had no perceivable idea what the distance they were saying was. So as soon as I realized that this guy was getting ready to spit out a number for how much he threw this 7-ton anchor, I was very excited, and it exceeded my expectations because he goes, 200 yards!
200, first off, they're not even using the metric system under the sea. That was the first thing I noticed. But it's just hilarious. 200 freaking yards is how far they throw this. I guess the water, because you can pick up heavier things underwater.
Yeah, which allows you to throw anchors to football fields. Then we get a great cartoon moment again with the they say, let's see a replay. And there's just another anchor that comes flying in. And the whole gag is this guy can't avoid the anchors. Larry throws one the exact same distance, but then he says 210 yards, which once again just
shows because the guy moved away to east. He moved east without going back, and then he said 210 yards.
Right, because Larry's got these guys in his pocket.
Yeah, he does. We've always said this about Larry. He's a little conniving, and
Sandy throws hers. Another clout, like the guy's running in loops now. The anchor still follows him. He's a little bit further than the 210-yard anchors, but still just relatively close. We cut away. The guy yells the distance. He goes 510 yards. So I don't know what happened off camera.
I don't know. I think he just got hit so many times by the anchor, he didn't know what to say.
Everyone is hyped for SpongeBob doing the arm farts because he's got a, you know, they're really, you know, egging him on. He's struggling. the anchor falls on him a little bit. He goes, I'm just kidding. Sandy says he's funnier than ears on Acorn, yeah. Which means nothing.
Means absolutely nothing. Also, how did they fall for Mr. Funny Pants after the whole ripped pants incident?
Right, right.
They're still falling for it.
On the beach, too. Like, how do you... Exactly. Yeah. It's honestly funny that they went back to this well so soon.
Yeah.
Like, ripped pants was basically this... episode.
Almost the same thing, yeah.
Except he didn't have the arms to go with it. He starts pumping himself up, blowing up the anchor arms, all the way to the jerk zone, which is everyone knows is dangerous.
The jerk zone.
And then, believe it or not, this extra air that SpongeBob has blown into these arms have not made him any stronger. The arms burst. And then the Fairweather fans start cheering for Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Who is absolutely disgusted at SpongeBob. And then we cut over to the new training program that she's put him on. And SpongeBob is turning the channel 100 times on the TV remote.
That's pretty brutal. That would get obnoxious pretty quick.
Yeah, if you had to do like
because
five sets of 100 button pushes.
Because she was making him do another set when we went over there. And if you hold your arm straight and click 100 times, keep doing that. That's going to eventually...
Yeah, now if she was saying, like, you got to do it straight with the weight of the remote, which is one of those... It's a situation where it's like, oh, it's a one-pound dumbbell. I could do this all day. But eventually, you know, it starts getting to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
On the Acorn TV.
You're right. What a tough workout routine.
And his arm falls off.
And that is the end of the episode. So which one were you? Were you more of a Muscle Bob Buff Pants kind of guy or Squidward the Unfriendly Ghost?
I'll have to say I love Muscle Bob Buff Pants. I think I liked Squidward the Unfriendly Ghost more.
This is another one where they were pretty even for me. But at the end of the day, Patrick takes the cake.
That's what it is. When it comes down to Patrick in this episode...
It's just like if SpongeBob the Unfriendly Ghost didn't have Patrick, it might be a different story, but Patrick takes it over the top. Here we go. Squid has made a wax sculpture of himself, and outside
we got something to talk about with Squid.
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
What is up with Squidward being so self-obsessed with himself?
You're right. Yeah, I'm glad that you stopped me because it is. It's one thing to do paintings, self-portraits, but when you make a full-blown wax sculpture of yourself...
And we see later on in this episode, we're in one of his random hallways. The whole hallway is just paintings of himself. We've seen it in that one room, but right. He's got hallways on hallways of just Squid.
I would actually like to know, like, I know self-portraits are a thing. You can paint yourself.
Yeah.
People do that. Has anyone actually ever made their own wax sculpture of themselves? Do you think that is something that's happened? I'm not sure it has.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That is a next level of crazy. Outside, SpongeBob and Patrick are playing the most complex game I've ever seen. And I gotta be honest.
Chess is involved.
I would love to play.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, it has chess, rocks,
bubbles.
It also takes into account days of the week.
Yeah.
It's also very reliant on bubbles, which Squidward smartly deduces because he asks Patrick what time it is. And when Patrick checks to go or goes to check his watch that I'm pretty sure is always on his wrist, he pours out the bubbles. I always like those moments, you know, when they...
Well, I love how he says, hey, what are you guys doing? They go, we don't know.
Right. Who knows? Just making it up as we go. And then as if that game had so many elements, and then there's just a shell laying on the ground, Patrick says, you want to toss that shell around?
Yeah.
And SpongeBob is as equally as excited to do that as the whole game that they were playing.
See, this is why I love SpongeBob and Patrick. They are the epitome of just have fun and don't worry about what anybody else thinks.
Yeah, they are what my parents would have loved in the sense of, like, they can entertain themselves.
Yeah.
I was always kind of famously, like my parents used to say, my brother and I were not good at that.
Right. You had to have like...
we had to have something. Like, we got to an age where we couldn't just, like, entertain ourselves. We needed, whether it was a game or a toy, or if we were in the pool, you know, we'd play with each other for 10 minutes, and we'd, you know, need my dad to jump in and, like, throw us.
I was about to say, Dad, can you throw a ball when we jump in and catch it?
Yes.
That was always the best.
Yes.
I remember when we would go to the pool, I don't know how old we were, but it would just be your mom there, and we would make her throw things to us when we jumped in.
And honestly, the throwing something as you're jumping to the pool, that's the best one.
Because you can do that now.
You can do that now, and also, like, the dad gets to stay seated where he is.
Yep.
And if you make a bad throw to him, he kind of uses it. He kind of treats you like a dog, where he's like, oh, I can't reach it. And then you...
Oh, yeah, always. That's always what they say. Nothing else. It's just can't reach it.
You know, they're not getting up to get it, so you got to kind of go grab it. Good times. They start playing shell toss, and Squidward, as if he wasn't weird enough, he starts taking a midday bath at...
Dude, I'll say this. If you wake up at... I want to say it's around 9:30 a.m. is my guess.
Oh, right now, you think?
Yeah. Maybe actually, I'll say 10:30 a.m. I think that's what time it is.
I think we're approaching noon.
Okay. 11:30 a.m. If you wake up at 10, because Squidward likes to get his sleep in. It's his day off. You make a wax sculpture of yourself and then instantly get in a bath that you pour lavender in, you might be gay. And I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's the bath more so than the wax sculpture?
No, the wax sculpture has a lot to do with it, too.
Okay, all right.
Now, if it's a wax sculpture of anything other than yourself, then you're off the hook.
Now, I'm not going to take it to sexuality at all, people. I'm just going to say, if you're the kind of person who, on a really nice day outside, where I believe the temps are probably approaching, you know, at least 70, 75, and you go get in a bath at 11:30 a.m.
Lavender bath?
A lavender bath at 11:30 a.m. Just don't want to hang with you. Unless you're sick. If you're sick...
But he's not sick. We saw that.
No, he's feeling great. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a guy who's insecure with a bathtub, all right? I'll get in a bath if it's, you know, late at night, I got nothing else going on, I just want to soak the bones.
Pour a little fine red.
Yeah, pour a little fine red, read a novel. I'm always doing that. But don't go getting in a bath before 7:30 p.m.
Oh, so insane.
Mm.
Only Squid.
The shell gets catapulted into his house, where it puts a major dent into the wax sculpture. The two boys go to retrieve it by taking Squidward's elevator.
I was about to say, is that an elevator I saw? How have we not seen that until now?
They've been hiding it from us.
Because there's even a window in his elevator. I don't know if you noticed that.
Really, I did not notice. I was so intrigued. I mean, it makes sense for his floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very narrow, straight up and down house. But that's crazy. An elevator?
Squid's rich. He does not need to be working at the Krusty Krab, I feel like.
I don't know how he's pulling this off. I'm sure real estate was much more friendly in Bikini Bottom than it is up here, but God.
Yeah, because we're getting the Amazon Jeffrey Bezos house.
Yeah, I'm not lying. We were sitting here looking at Amazon houses before we hit record.
Yeah.
We think we're on to something. Patrick tries to give the sculpture CPR before one thing leads to another and his entire butt falls on the head, flattening it.
Yeah.
Now the
CPR, let's talk about that a little bit.
Right.
He just put Squidward's entire nose, which it's a little, you know, a little too much, if you know what I mean, because Squidward's nose looks similar to a penis.
Gigantic schlong.
Yeah. And he just blows... Okay, first off, I would love for somebody to not know how to do CPR to watch them in public. If they're like, oh, I'll try to save them, and they just go to somebody's nose and just start blowing in it.
Yeah, because as a kid, especially, I remember thinking like, oh, it's not that you're trying to, like, because essentially I think the idea of CPR is to restart the breathing pattern.
Yes.
You know, get some oxygen... flow and get, you know, I don't, even though I've been CPR certified like two or three different times, I still don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I know that there's more of a pattern to it. You're trying to get the whole lungs going again. As a kid, you think, oh, I just got to get air in there.
Yeah.
No matter how I do it, you just got to blow them up like a balloon. And that's exactly what Patrick tries. So they say, okay, he's okay, but they're scared because he's cold. So they have to put him into the sun to warm him up a little bit. Patrick tells SpongeBob not to worry because he is here and he knows a lot about head injuries. Which is a great line. They're talking about all this, and they haven't noticed until it's pulled up in their feet around them. Squidward has melted.
He is melted down.
They freak out.
And I love, he melts so quick. You put him in the sun for 10 seconds, and he melts all the way down.
As they're freaking out, Squidward is powdering his nose, which is another tally in your category for what you think's going on here.
Squid, he's on the sus list. We're going to have a sus list, and every time he does something sus, we just give him another check mark. You know what? I'm making that list right now.
Okay, make a sus list for Squidward.
Sus list.
Let's think about all the sussery. Yeah, and not just this episode. We'll start with this episode, but then let's go back a few times.
It's Squidward's tentacles and the sussery stone.
Yeah, okay. Let me know when you're ready for us to list some of these off.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Right, midday bath.
Midday bath.
Powdered nose.
Powdered nose.
Self-portraits.
Yep, self-portraits.
Wax sculpture.
Of oneself.
Yeah. Put on there that one time he made a souffle.
That one time he made a souffle, okay. The dance magazine at the Krusty Krab that one time?
Yeah, the dance magazine. That was definitely goes on the sussery of.
Because he was reading it way too early in the day. Dance magazine.
There's more. Let's see if we can come up with something.
I mean, we could talk about his talent show. There was just certain things there. What do you think? No?
Yeah, I feel like that kind of goes within like the dance magazine. Let's get one more here.
Let's find one more. The thing in the first episode, second. Let's see. His nose?
I think that's unfair. That's probably just genetics. Didn't he do something like... Okay, how about this? Let's see if you're okay with this one. Tanning with one of those like mirror tan things that we have.
That's a great one. It's one thing just to tan.
If you're just tanning, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't... You can't get that to make it seem like, okay, I'm really working hard to get this tan. If you just want to lay out in the sun, that's fine.
All right, and that is Squidward tentacles and the sussery stone. All right,
We'll keep adding to the sussery stone as we go. I'm sure he's going to continue to fill that bad boy up. All right, so the boys are trying to fix their mistake, but nothing is working. They think they've killed Squidward when who comes out but of the bathroom?
A ghostly-looking squid.
White as a ghost, and that's what SpongeBob and Patrick
the robe?
He
Do we
is.
Put the robe, or is he... Because he's got the towel wrapped around his head, too. And that's when you do both at one time.
Honestly, the robe I'm fine with. It's the towel wrapped around the head. Because every time I did that as a kid, I was doing ironically. And to be like, exactly. Oh, I see my mom do this.
Towel wrapped around head. Now, what is the point of it? I still don't know.
I think the idea of the towel around the head is like when you have long hair, like women do. You can't physically, like, unless you're going to blow dry it, I don't think you can dry all of it at one time. So it's probably going to continue to drip. So you kind of put it up.
Gotcha.
To let the towel continue to soak all the moisture.
But Squidward's bald.
Squidward is bald. So he does not need that. So that definitely goes on the list.
Sussery at its finest. All right.
So they beg Squidward to spare them of his ghostly anger when it clicks, and Squidward takes this opportunity. He says all they have to do is tend to his every whim and tickle his fancy so he doesn't haunt them.
God, when he mentioned the tickle his fancy line, I was like, yes, SpongeBob. It's in SpongeBob. I love that saying. My great-grandma used to say that.
Really, did she?
Yeah, that's where I say it, because she said, what tickles your fancy? She said something along those lines, and I'm like, you know what? That saying needs to make a comeback.
Now, they bring him out on a throne-like bed. I don't know what this thing is. Don't know why he had this ready to go. Mm-hmm. And every spot they go is too hot. Now they eventually...
He says too hot, and then they move him to the next spot, and he says too wet.
They eventually do a gag that still has me perplexed to this day. It goes way over my head. When they take him to, like, the map thing...
What was that called? That's something we should probably look up.
And then he says something where it's like it goes along with the joke, but I did not get it at all.
I don't get it at all. And it's something we should probably type in because it has a name. It was like the Poseidon of something. It's like a play or something.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I can probably get to it here pretty quick. Let me try. Got better Wi-Fi now, so I'm really zooming around. Oh, look at this. I'm getting ready to go right to it. How amazing am I? Yep, he says, no, too wet. They go over to this map. It says, Troupe de Poison, and yeah, Palm. Okay, type this in.
Okay.
T-R.
T-R.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
T-R-O-U-P-E.
Okay.
De, D-E.
Yep.
P-O-I-S-S-O-N.
Yep.
What's that?
Troupe de Passion. Too loose. A pun on the name of paintings artist Henry de Toulouse.
Yeah, because they get there and then Squidward says, too loose, Lautrec.
I think it's hilarious as that is that because unless you were in a class like this, you would learn about Henry de once in your life. You may never understand a quick joke. Never understood it.
So wait, when you type it in, it goes to a SpongeBob-related thing?
I love that they added in for any artists who are watching, for it shows that the people are thinking about all audience.
Okay. All right. So it's like a wink for the artist out there.
Yep. There's a scene. It's a wink for the artists out there, yeah.
Okay. I like that. All right, so yeah, I mean, I was so confused going into that, but that makes more sense that, you know, Steven was an artist, so. Squidward then asks for some nourishment. SpongeBob brings him a single grape, and then he brings him a banana. Patrick walks up onto the scene with an entire watermelon that he drops into Squidward's mouth. Squid says, okay, enough of that. He wants... he wants something... very hard to find. He says, cherry pie. And before he can finish saying the word pie, Patrick pulls a hot steaming pie out of his pocket. When asked where he got it, Patrick says, I found it. Oh my God. Squidward takes it, throws it, and says, well, find it again.
Find it again, and then Patrick is nowhere to be seen. He didn't throw it that far, mind you.
He has SpongeBob jog in place and say flank steak, which is so weird.
What? Some of the things they make him do in this show is just so off the wall that I'm like, what are they even...
Yeah, it's one thing to be like, all right, jog in place, but then to be like, all right, I'm going to show him. SpongeBob hates saying flank steak.
This is his least favorite cut of steak.
He then asked him to play an elaborate song with a tissue, and he can't do it. SpongeBob is a quitter.
It's so stupid that this upsets SpongeBob.
Oh, Squid says he can't leave that spot until he hears a song, so SpongeBob literally stays there all night long. The next day, Squidward comes back and tells SpongeBob to clean out his back room. When Patrick returns with the pie...
Took him a whole day.
Squid throws it in his face, and Patrick looks at SpongeBob and says, this is fun. He's been looking for a pie overnight. He's having a blast.
I love Patrick.
This was also another good moment. I couldn't even describe it in my notes because I couldn't type all of it out. Basically, they're in the hall getting ready to enter the closet. SpongeBob's talking to Patrick, and he's like, all right, let's go. And Patrick's like, all right, here we go. And right here. And then you turn around, and Patrick's not even turning. He's not even turned in the right direction. He's like, over here, Pat.
This is the random hall where I said there's a bunch of pictures of Squidward still. But
they get to the back room. They say, how are we going to clean this mess? And this is another cartoon moment where they just rip the wallpaper off. And actually, all that there is in this back room is a single comic book in the floor. Which is a great little nugget here.
It is, the Flying Dutchman. This is the first time we've gotten any info on him, right?
I think so, right? And especially, like, we see his character for the first time. They say, when he died, they used his body as a window display. Now he haunts the seven seas because he was never put to rest.
We've got to... I hope so much that that comes back into context when we do see the Flying Dutchman. Right. Because I do not remember him mentioning that he was a window display.
You know, it's funny... And this might not have anything to do with it. When they're on the ship later in my favorite episode,
Shanghai,
is they go through that perfume department store.
Oh, that definitely has to.
So I don't know if that's like a little wink or not. Cannot wait for that episode. So yeah, SpongeBob. Okay, yeah. SpongeBob says, "Don't you get it, Patrick?" And Patrick says, "We're going shopping." No, they got to put Squidward to rest. So, they tell Squid they're going to put him to rest, and they try to get him in a coffin.
Yeah, see, they weren't that upset when they thought Squidward died. They were upset that they did it, but did you notice that? But they didn't cry about it.
They were upset that they were going to get haunted.
Yeah.
Or they were way more concerned about that than Squidward's actual demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were afraid they were going to get caught.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty dark stuff here.
So Squidward tells them to leave, and then when he looks out the window, they are now digging his grave for him, where then also two busloads of mourners have arrived, and they also took the time to rent a organ. An entire organ is being offloaded mourners. To mourn Squidward.
We brought some mourners.
My takeaway was like pretty good turnout.
Yeah, people seem to actually care about Squid.
Mr. Krabs and Sandy are there. Now, Squidward has a confession to make as he takes the towel off his head and SpongeBob goes, "You're bald." But no, he's alive. He's alive. SpongeBob has to send everyone home. Those people have got to be so confused.
Oh, my gosh.
So very confused. Squidward says, "Do me a favor and stop doing me favors," which is a great line.
Yep, because then you have to do a favor to stop doing favors, which would be contradictory.
Patrick walks up, says, "Wow, he had us fooled." But SpongeBob says he's a ghost. There's every now and then you get to the point in the episode where it all clicks for Patrick. Like I go back to the episode where Patrick says, "Well, maybe Squidward just hates us."
Mm-hmm.
But SpongeBob gaslights him further, and in that episode he goes, "Are you kidding? We're his best friends." And in this one he says, "No, he's a ghost in denial." Patrick says they really need to get him to the great beyond, and that gives them the thought. They blow a bubble when Squidward's once again laying out in the sun. Yep. He does that a lot.
A little too much.
And Patrick says, "There he goes."
Yeah, I love how they think they're just doing such a good deed here.
He starts floating into the sky, out of the sea. He's on the other side now. He's in a better place as we see him being absolutely swarmed by seagulls. End of episode.
Such a good episode. I actually really like that one. I don't know what it is. Some of these episodes, I feel like I just have not seen as much as the others, and that was one of them.
Yeah. Like, neither one of those are, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, top 10 episodes by any means. They're just solid. They're solidly right there where you can sit down and enjoy it. Now we get to the next episode, which... I think this one is I'm going to say are probably a notch above these two past episodes.
Ooh, okay.
The Chaperone. You know that one?
Oh, yeah. Good old Pearly Girl.
And employee of the month.
Employee of the... Okay, yeah. I think you're probably right on that.
So, very excited about those two. That's going to be a good one.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Krabs said Mother of Pearl earlier in this episode. It's funny that he says that because isn't that just his ex-wife that he's talking about?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Nice little nugget there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chaperone is always one that I feel like I saw that one a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
And just SpongeBob's whole getup. Very excited for that episode. Yep. The stilts. Long, tan, and handsome. We will be covering it next week. If you're on the free feed, you can go listen to it right now because we've already recorded it and it's on our Patreon. We got three episodes on there. So go click on the link in the description.
Do it.
It's $5 a month. We got a lot of content that you can access early as well as an extra episode every single week. We have fun. All right. So check it out.
Check it.
I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.